Amen. The title of the sermon this evening is The Importance of Being on Time. The Importance of Being on Time. No, I'm just kidding. Look there in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter number 20. Yeah, punctuality. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. Look at Isaiah chapter number 20. I want you to look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered." And then it says this, "to the shame of Egypt." The title of the sermon this evening is, "What is nakedness? When am I naked? What is nakedness?" Now, the first thing I want to start out with is identifying the importance of knowing what is nakedness. Look here in verse number 4 what the Bible says. "So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old," and then it says this, "naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered." Notice this, "to the shame of Egypt." Now, I want you to notice immediately that nakedness, number one, nakedness is a shame. Nakedness is a shame. So if you are naked, if you are exposing a part of your body that is considered nakedness, it is shameful. So it is important to accurately identify what is nakedness. There are many different definitions in the world today, from different sets of Christians, from different groups of the world, different people, different policies out in this business. You can't wear this, you have to have your shirt on, this and that. But where does the buck stop always? The Bible.
Right.
That's where we get the definition of everything. So if we're going to determine what is nakedness, we're going to find out from the Bible. What does the Bible teach about what is nakedness? Number one, I want you to notice that nakedness is a shame. So if we define something according to the Bible that says, hey, this area or this part of your body is nakedness, it is shameful for that to be disclosed. It is shameful for that to be seen or to be exposed. One portion of the body that we can start off with right here is the buttocks. Does everyone notice that? The buttocks is nakedness. Look at what it says. "Naked and barefoot," it says there in the middle. "Naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt." I want you to turn to, Revelation chapter number 16, verse number 15. The majority of what we looked at tonight is going to be in the Old Testament, so I'll have you turn to, maybe this is the only New Testament scripture tonight. I'm going to read to you quickly from Isaiah 47, verse 3. The Bible says, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered," yea, so he's repeating himself, "thy shame shall be seen." So again, it's really clear, nakedness is shameful. Nakedness is shameful. "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen." You are in Revelation chapter number 16. This is verse number 15. Revelation chapter number 16, verse number 15. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So what are they seeing? They're seeing his nakedness. And what do they say? That is his shame. It's shameful to look at someone and they're not clothed in the way in which they should be. There are certain parts of your body that you should be embarrassed to show to other people. You should be ashamed to show these parts of your body in public for other people to see. I'm going to read to you from Nahum chapter number 3, verse number 5. "Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face." And then it says this, "And I will show the nations thy nakedness." And then he just uses them interchangeably. He says, "And the kingdoms thy shame." So when he says he's going to show them your shame, he's specifically saying, "I'm going to show them your nakedness." They're synonymous. Even when he says, "I'm going to show them your shame," he's just saying, "I'm going to show them your nakedness." That just shows that these two words are even being used to the point of being synonymous or interchangeable. That is our shame, or that is our nakedness. You could use either or. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter number 28, verse number 42. Exodus chapter number 28, verse number 42. And as I said just a moment ago, everyone has a point where they draw the line. But Caleb, You may drink water, please. Everyone has a point where they draw the line, where they say, hey, I believe that this is nakedness. I believe that this is nakedness. As I mentioned already as well, where should we draw the line? The Bible. So if we believe that a certain portion of the body is nakedness, we should be able to, you know, look and see that from Scripture. If we say, hey, this is nakedness, you need to cover it up, you better be able to show me a verse in the Bible that says that's nakedness. If you say that, hey, this is not nakedness, but the Bible says that it is nakedness, well, you're wrong, and the Bible's right. It's always where we draw our lines. What does the Bible define as nakedness? What does the Bible define as nakedness? Today, in the United States of America, obviously, we live in a nation of, you know, just sleazy people, don't we? Where people just walk around with no shame, just showing everything, don't they? Where people aren't even interested in finding out what is nakedness and what is not nakedness. They have no desire. Well, let not us as God's people be put into that category. How about we look at the Bible, study the Bible, and let's walk away with what the Bible teaches of what is nakedness and what is not nakedness. Allow the Bible to be your authority tonight on what is nakedness according to the Bible. Now here we're going to start out in Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus chapter number 28. And this subject was brought up recently in the recent, debacle going on in Texas. But I had already had this plan to be preached here recently. And it was just a coincidence. But this was, coincidentally, I guess, this was a part of the disagreements between these churches and why in which they said that they were, one of the reasons why they were going to separate. It wasn't the main reason they said, but it was a reason why. Now, I had already planned on preaching this, but let me say this. This is a very important subject. It's an extremely important subject. And I'll get more into why it's important later. Let's look here. We're going to begin with the first portion of the body, or the second portion of the body. The buttocks, of course, is everyone agrees with that. The world agrees with that, right? The majority of the world. I mean, you got some freaks out there, but pretty much everybody says, yeah, my butt. If you can see my butt, that's my nakedness, right? I mean, you are way out in left field if you're like, nope, not a part of my nakedness, right? All of us agree, buttocks, right? Okay. Well, step number two. The Bible says, body part number two, the Bible says that your loins is your nakedness. The Bible also says that, and I'm going to show you according to the Bible what part of the body is the loins in just a moment. The Bible says that your thighs are your nakedness. I want you to look here in Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus chapter number 28, verse number 42. The Bible says this, speaking about the garments of the priests. And thou shalt make them linen breeches, that's like pants, to cover their nakedness. So what are these loins going to cover? Or breeches, as the Bible says, going to cover? Their nakedness. Okay, well look at what it covers. From the loins, even unto the thighs. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. That is not confusing at all, is it? It says, I want you to cover your nakedness. And this is the portion of the body that it's going to, that these are going to cover. And then it tells you, from the loins unto the thighs. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 47. Ezekiel chapter number 47. I think you'll find this interesting. Ezekiel chapter number 47. I've heard people try to debate these points, and they're like, well, where are the loins? Where are the thighs? The clear definition of the loins in the Bible is the midsection of your body. I mean, I don't need to be very descriptive. Everyone knows where your private part is in the midsection of your body. That is your loins. That is a part of your nakedness. Not only that, your thighs are a part of your nakedness. Your thighs pick up where your loins leave off. Okay? This is basic anatomy. Your thighs extend unto your kneecap. This is your thigh all the way to here, where your knee begins. And I'm going to prove that to you right now, according to the Bible's definition. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 47. It says this. This is an angel leading Ezekiel through a vision. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without, unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. So there's waters rushing out. He's walking, about to prepare to walk through these waters. Verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. So he begins walking through the water, and he's going to be going deeper as he goes. So we begin where? At his ankles. So right now the water is just at his ankles, right? Okay. Keep reading. Verse number 4. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Now notice the clear delineations of your leg. Ankles, knees. What is above our knee? Our thigh, right? Notice what it says next. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. I'm sorry, the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. So there's the latter part of that passage. It says, again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters. He says, the waters were to the loins. So do you know what you have in between your knee and then above? You have your abdomen, of course, up here. But you have the delineation here of your loins. And from the loins all the way to the knee is what? Your loins and your thighs. That's very basic, isn't it? Why are the thighs not mentioned? Because he bypassed them, proving that the thigh is any portion of the body from the kneecap all the way upward. I've heard people try to disagree with that, but this is the Bible's definition of different body parts. So you have your loins, which clearly begin right below your, right around the abdomen area, right? Your hips being a good delineation point of that. Loins, and below that is what? Thighs, and then knees. So you know what you need to make sure that you have covered, right? All the way, anything above your knee should not be exposed. Anything above your knee is nakedness. Period. This is the Bible's definition, right? So what the Bible says, this is nakedness. Now we're going to look at another scripture right now that further proves this. Go to Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 1. Even a lot of Christians would think that this is crazy, that this is over the top. But do you know what it really is? It's Bible. It's what the Bible teaches. We live in a world today that has become numb to the areas of what is their nakedness. They walk around naked and they don't even know that they're naked. They walk around exposing themselves and they have no idea that they're doing such. They're showing parts of the body that they should be ashamed about. You walk around, you want to go, you know, anywhere nowadays. Anywhere you go practically. People just have no shame that they're exposing their thigh. If you told them, hey, that's your nakedness, they would say you're insane, wouldn't they? They'd say that you are crazy. But if you just go back just, you know, a little bit in even American history, people wouldn't have dared to walk around showing off their thigh.
Right.
It's because our culture has went downhill massively. It has degraded massively. We need to get back to the morals of the Bible, allow the Bible to tell us what is nakedness. Look here in Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 1, the Bible says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. This is going to be important in a moment, so I want you to understand that this is figuratively speaking about the nation of Babylon as a woman, right? You see that? This is figurative about the nation of Babylon, and it's speaking of her as being a woman. This is a common theme throughout the Bible, and I want you to understand because we're going to look at something that relates to this in a moment. He says this, speaking to Babylon, the woman, it says, take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Then he says, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the river. So specifically, what part of the body was uncovered just now? the leg, and then he specifies further and says the thigh, doesn't he? The leg, the thigh. Look at verse number 3. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. That is a further proof, obviously, a clear proof in the Bible that what is your nakedness? It is your thigh. Showing further. And this is, and most people wouldn't debate the loins, would they? Most people wouldn't debate the buttocks. But we have this further proof in the Bible, even though we have one clear scripture already, that the thigh is a part of your nakedness. Notice he's speaking to a lady too, and the women are obviously the most common that walk around in our world today, uncovering their thigh. And you know what they're doing when they're putting on shorts, their booty shorts, whatever you want to call them, anything like that? You know what they're doing? They're showing their nakedness. They're walking around naked. They may not think they're naked, but when God looks at them, they're naked, aren't they? They're showing off their nakedness. That's what they're doing. And you know what? They should be ashamed.
Right.
You know why they do that? It's because they don't know, do they? They don't have any idea that that's their nakedness. There's a lot of even Christian girls that walk around showing off their nakedness with just their thigh uncovered. You know what? They have no clue that they're naked. You're naked right now. They say, you're crazy. No, according to God, you're naked.
Right.
His standards are up here.
Amen.
You know, this is a part of being a fundamentalist.
Right.
If you're going to say you believe the Bible, just believe the whole thing.
Amen.
I mean, goodness. Let's believe all of it. Every aspect of it. The buttocks is naked. The loins are nakedness. You are naked if you're showing any part of of your body. Any of these. Right? And then number 3, we see further support. Number 3, that the thigh is nakedness. I want you to turn now to Proverbs chapter number 5, the fourth portion of the body that is nakedness. Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. Now, as I said, everything should be based upon Scripture. Whatever you believe about any subject should be based upon Scripture. And I'm going to show you, according to the Bible, clear Scripture, repeatedly, that breasts are nakedness, according to the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. It's not my opinion. I didn't walk away with this. I didn't come up to the Bible and decide to believe this before I got to the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. And I'm going to show you clear passages where over and over again here in just a moment where breasts are identified in the same exact way, just like the thigh is, breasts are identified as nakedness. In the same way that you should not uncover or discover your thigh, you should not uncover or discover your breasts because it is nakedness. Now let's look at this. According to the Bible. Here first I want to start in Proverbs chapter number 5. And I want to show you a theme throughout the book of Proverbs and Solomon's writings. where a woman's breasts are spoken of as being only for her husband. And the importance of that. All throughout these writings, what we're going to look at. A woman's breasts are being spoken of as being, sensual. They are sensual. The majority of the time when breasts are spoken of throughout the Bible, they are not speaking about breastfeeding. They are speaking about having a relationship with your husband. Now that right there, just seeing that repeatedly coming up, should bring up a red flag immediately. That if they are spoken of in that type of manner, that is not a part of the body that you want to be uncovering, is it? Well, look at Proverbs chapter number 5. I want you to look at verse number 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. This is God, of course, Solomon writing this through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writing and telling a man to drink water out of his own, what is it, your fountain first? Drink waters out of thine own cistern, he says there. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, which would be like a well. He says well after that. So he's telling him, he's alluding to not going after other women, right? In a very general sense. Don't go after other women. Now, let's pay close attention to what is mentioned. 16. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own. Notice that. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Verse 19. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. So notice, speaking of a relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, he says, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, right? So this is obviously something that the man receives pleasure out of from the woman, right? I'm not going beyond what the Bible describes. So, you know, pay close attention. So I'm going to speak very simply right now. So this is an area where the man receives satisfaction or pleasure. It uses the word satisfy, right? And it says, let her breast satisfy thee. And then he repeatedly said before that, he said, only thine own. Did you notice that? Only thine own. So I want you to notice, first of all, that this is not something that should be shared with another person. This is not something that another person, another man, should be able to receive satisfaction from, is it? No, it is not. Look at the next verse. Notice what it actually says after that, verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? So it contrasts that. Why would you be ravished with a strange woman? And it says, and embrace the bosom of a stranger. So notice it actually talks about the bosom of another woman, of a foreign woman, doesn't it? So notice how this can be a temptation for a man. Can it or can it not? And specifically, what is the man being attracted to? What is the man being attracted to? The bosom of this woman. Is he or is he not? The breasts of the woman. What is luring the man in? There's no way around it. What is bringing the man in? What is he attracted to? The bosom or the breasts of this woman. I'm going to show you a clearer verse on that as well. Let's look at Song of Solomon. Go to Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. Look at verse number 13. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1, verse number 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Go to chapter number 4. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4, verse number 5. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Look at chapter number 7, verse number 3. Chapter number 7, verse number 3. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fishbowls in Heshbon. He goes on and on. Go to verse number 7. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof, or boughs. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. I want you to go to chapter number 8. Pay close attention here in chapter number 8, what it says. Chapter number 8, verse number 8. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? Now I want you to notice that she is saying it's going to be difficult in order for her sister, and this is just what the Bible's teaching right here, to have a man that would want to call on her, right? And what is the reason, according to the Bible? According to what Song of Solomon, this is inspired scripture, of course, but Song of Solomon's wife is saying, because she does not have breasts. Further proof, look at verse number 9. If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. If she be a door, we will enclose her. We will enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall. Did I skip down too far? Was I in verse 8 before that?
Yeah.
Keep reading. I'm sorry. I am a wall, and my breasts like towers. Yes, this is what I wanted right here. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. You notice what that's teaching very clearly. It's very clearly saying that her sister does not have breasts. And because of that, it is hard for her to find a man that is interested in her. That is what it's teaching. And then it says, following that up, she is speaking about herself and saying that she has breasts like towers. And then it says, then was I, because she has breasts, then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. The Bible teaches that breasts are something that men are attracted to. And that this is something that draws men in and that causes men to be interested in a woman. One woman does not have breasts, the man is not interested in her. And then, you know, that's her sister is who it's speaking of. Then she herself talks about how she has breasts like towers. Don't say that I'm speaking inappropriately, because this is Bible, right?
Right?
We don't go outside of the Bible. We speak according to the Bible. Then she says that she has breasts like towers, and what does she say? Therefore, it's because of that, something along those lines, she found favor in his eyes. We saw the very first verse that we looked at in Proverbs chapter number 5, that a woman's breasts are meant only for her husband. And we see clearly that men find satisfaction out of breasts. Now, before I even get to the clear verse that teaches that breasts are nakedness, just to be safe, if men are attracted to women's breasts and that's what draws them in, doesn't it just make sense that this is a part of the body that you should not be exposing to other men?
Amen.
Doesn't that just make sense? It does, doesn't it? If you just want to be safe, if you just want to, you know, make sure that you don't cause any problems, right? Just according to the Bible's teaching, it just makes sense. Let's just be safe. But the Bible actually defines breasts as nakedness in the exact same way as we just saw a moment ago, the exact same way that the thighs are defined as nakedness. So I want you to turn to, I think that's the next passage I want to look at. Yes, Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter number 16. There's a couple of passages here, but I want to bring to remembrance to you the passage in Isaiah. The way the Bible defined nakedness in that passage of the thigh was first that it mentioned, you know, Babylon, the nation or the city, as being the nation. I hope that came out of his mouth. Babylon, the nation or the city, is being spoken of as a woman, figuratively, right? It's being spoken of figuratively. That's going to take me a minute to get over. That was funny. It's being spoken of figuratively as a woman, right? It's a woman. Babylon is being spoken of as a woman. And then he says, uncover the thigh. Goodness sakes. Uncover the thigh, uncover nakedness, right? We don't want to encourage him either, right? This can't be a weekly thing. Uncover the thigh, uncover nakedness. So notice, the woman figuratively, or the city figuratively, is a woman. And he says, uncover the thigh. What are you doing? You're uncovering what? You're uncovering her nakedness. So he actually tells you what is uncovered, right? And then he says after that, he follows it up after that with, the nakedness is what's being uncovered. Okay, I'm going to show you two different passages where this takes place. And then also, the context of this further supports this, but it's very plain in its reading in the first place. I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter number 16. This is God speaking figuratively now of the nation of Israel. He's speaking directly to Jerusalem. But if you get the context in verses 1 through 3, you'll see that he's speaking to the nation of Israel, or those that are abiding in Jerusalem, the nation of Judah at the time that the split had taken place. He's talking about them being a woman, but a woman that was just born, and he's speaking about the time in which he came and adopted them. He took them out of Egypt, or even more specific, actually, it's mentioned the time of Abraham. I want you to look at verse number 6. It says, and when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Now I want you to look close. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. So what part of the body, what only part of the body is mentioned here? The breast is really the only part of the body that we identify, isn't it? It's the only part of the body that is mentioned. It says, thy breasts are fashioned and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. And he says in verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, the only thing he mentioned was breasts. Looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. What is the only part of the body that is mentioned here? It's breast, isn't it? And what does he say that he's covering when he spreads his skirt upon her? He says, I'm covering your nakedness. When we looked at Isaiah chapter number 47, it said that she uncovered her thigh, right? And then it said, uncover the nakedness. The part of the body that is spoken of here is her breast. Now, number one, if you understand what it's saying that she grew up, right? She grew up, and then he passed by her, and she grew what? Like we saw in Song of Solomon, what did her sister not have? Breasts. She grew breasts, and as a result of that, what did God do? That's what's going on here. Once the breasts are fashioned, once she's grown, he looks at her and he says, I'm spreading my skirt upon you to cover your nakedness. It's a clear definition. Now, if you believe that Isaiah chapter number 47 is teaching that the thigh is nakedness, you have to be consistent. Ezekiel is teaching the exact same thing here in chapter number 16, that the breasts are nakedness as well. I'm going to further show that to you. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 23 now. Ezekiel chapter number 23. So Ezekiel 16 through 23 continues the same exact subject. The same subject. He's just basically scorning Judah. He's scorning Israel. He's speaking unto her as being a whore. Ezekiel 23 is a very famous passage where she's being talked about as being a whore repeatedly. How she's going after the abominations of the other nations, right? That's all through 16 to 23, the entire time. So it's speaking of her as being a woman, right? That's what the whole passage is talking about. Now, if 16 is where it starts, the context starts. She's naked. She grows and fashions breasts, and he says that he covers her nakedness. What was he covering? Her breasts. We see that being taught clearly. Well, look further here in Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23. Look at verse number 7. We'll start verse 7. Thus she committed whoredoms with them, with all them that were the chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted, with all their idols she defiled herself. Neither left she her whoredoms brought from Egypt, for in her youth they lay with her, and it says, and they bruised the breasts of her virginity and poured their whoredom upon her. So I want you to notice, it's speaking of a relationship again, and what does it say that they do? Bruise the breasts of her virginity. Notice what's mentioned also when there's a sensual relationship going on is what? Breasts again. Breasts repeatedly are spoken of as being sensual all throughout the Bible. Repeatedly. They're by far spoken of more about that relationship than they are about breastfeeding. It's like probably 20% breastfeeding and 80% that relationship. Over and over again. So notice it says, when this relationship is going on, it says, they bruised the breasts of her virginity and poured their whoredom upon her. Look at verse 9. Wherefore I have delivered her in the hand of her lovers and in the hand of the Assyrians upon whom she doted. Look at verse 10. These discovered her nakedness. What is the only thing that is mentioned again? Her breasts. And what did they do? Discovered her nakedness. Now further proof is putting together the whole story. God shows up. It represents Abraham, right? Or, further on, it's of course figurative, so it also represents the nation of Israel being brought out. Because if you read the latter portion of Ezekiel 16, he starts talking about how he decked her with this when he covered her and dressed her. And it's describing the colors of the tabernacle and the temple, right? Because this is, of course, figurative of the religious aspect, of the spiritual aspect, right? So he says that she, her breasts were fashioned, and he covered her nakedness. Then, when later on she's defiled spiritually, what is the one thing that's spoken of about being uncovered now? What did God cover? Her breasts. That's what he covered. That's the only thing mentioned. And then he says he covered her nakedness. What is spoken of that they uncovered? Or what takes place here? It says they bruised the breasts of her virginity. And then it says they uncovered or discovered or nakedness. Do you see the pattern of what it's actually teaching? So we can see clearly when he comes, he covers her nakedness. And then when they come, what do? They uncover her nakedness. There's no way around it. And what are both, what is the one covering and the other uncovering? The breasts. Both times. And like I said, you can do your own study on this because I'm not going to go through every single passage on this. But the vast majority of the time, breasts are spoken of as being sensual almost every single time. As I said, shouldn't that bring a red flag in your mind that that's something that should not be uncovered in front of other men? I know that that's the way that I feel. When I see that in the Bible, when I look at things like that, that makes me feel as if, you know, just you know, not even looking at the other scriptures. Then we see that men derive satisfaction from this. Men derive pleasure from this. Then we see that men, you know, that you're only supposed to have your wives only and not others. Now, let me ask you a question. I hope you don't think that this is going too far. Do men derive satisfaction not only from, engaging with breasts, if you will, but do they derive satisfaction from looking at breasts? They do. So, I mean, does anything else need to be explained at that point? That it does not, does it? Now, throughout the Bible, the Bible talks about breastfeeding. And a lot of times, if you bring this up, if you preach against, hey, breasts are nakedness, you need to cover, the argument comes out, well, you are discouraging breastfeeding. That is foolish, that is stupid, that is a straw man argument. And I'll tell you why it's so crazy to me that people will bring this stupid argument up. Because a lot of the same people that I've heard use that argument against a man or a person that would say breasts are nakedness are the same people who will point out that same straw man argument to liberal Christians. And do you know when? Swimwear. All the time. And it's all the same arguments. It's foolishness and it's silly. Liberal Christians all the time will say, are you just saying we can't go swimming then? Are you saying that we just can't go swimming? If you tell people, hey, that is nakedness, you should not be uncovering that. You know what people say all the time? I've heard it numerous times growing up in an independent fundamental Baptist church and having to go to school with liberal Christians. I've heard it tons of times, the argument brought up. And they always say the same thing. Are you just saying we just shouldn't go, swimming then? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying just don't uncover your nakedness. You can do it without uncovering your nakedness. You know, my family goes swimming, and we all stay covered, and we have a blast. We have fun. You know what? And it's a wholesome time. It's a foolish argument, and it's all the same stream of arguments. It's uncomfortable for the baby. The baby has trouble feeding under this big covering. Number one, I don't believe that. I've never seen a problem with my... I'm not saying that maybe some babies, special circumstances, maybe some babies have issues with it. But my wife has breastfed all four of our children, and not one of them had any problems at all, period. None. Personal experience, I'm being honest to you, 100%. No problems at all. I don't buy it. Maybe there's one baby in this world. Maybe five babies. I don't know. But maybe that is the exception, but the majority. But you know what? That's the same argument. It's uncomfortable having to wear all this while I go swimming. But what do you say about that? What do you say, personally? It doesn't matter, does it? I don't care if you're uncomfortable or not, even if you are uncomfortable, which my wife and my daughter never complain about being uncomfortable in their swimwear, do they? Does your family? No, you're comfortable, aren't you? That's a foolish argument. But would it even matter, even if it was uncomfortable? Here's the thing. All these arguments mean nothing in the first place. It matters what the Bible says. Yeah. So the arguments are just logic. And when someone has to appeal to all these arguments, that's a big red flag. Right. It's like, hey, let's just go to the Bible. I want you to show me in the Bible. Please show me in the Bible. I don't want to have these foolish reasoning and logic and all these other arguments. What's another one that they use? Oh, it's accepted everywhere, right? It's accepted everywhere. All sorts of sins are accepted everywhere. That, you see how low you have to go with these arguments. Oh, people do it in Canada. People do it in America. They just walk around. They do a lot of other things, too, that they shouldn't be doing. And the foolishness is that people will point to Africa. Like, yeah, women breastfeed all the time. And so, you know what? A lot of them just walk around totally topless continually all day. Are you comfortable with that too? You want to point these arguments out? Let's look at all of the examples. Not only that, a lot of the men walk around bottomless. Good examples you're giving me here. You know why? Because these are heathen cultures.
Right.
And this is a pagan practice. It is something when people just get comfortable with just uncovering their nakedness. It is just that we're becoming a pagan society. And this is creeping in more and more into our society. And it's come in to Christian circles through the movement of things that are organic. Now let me say this. You know, there are a lot of things that I agree with that movement. A lot of things. I agree eating fully organic. My dad actually did it before I ever even heard, anybody, I ever knew anybody from the new IFB. My dad did it. We started shopping at Trader Joe's and stuff like that. And there came a point in time when I was like, this is real expensive. Is there, and I'm being honest with you, this is real expensive. Is this really even worth it? Why do I do it? Am I just think that that's right because my dad does it or what? Why am I trying to eat organic? And then it occurred to me this, number one, let me ask you this question. What quenches your thirst the best of everything on this planet?
Water.
Does a Coca-Cola quench your thirst better than water? No. Because the things that God makes are good, and they're perfect, and they're right. I want the way that creation was intended upon me, to eat. I want to eat those things. I want to eat things the way which the Creator made them. And it makes more sense that a Christian would be saying, let's eat organic, than a lot of these liberal people in this movement who believe in evolution, they don't even believe in the Bible, right? So that occurred to me, like, hey, God makes things right. I don't want man, putting things in my food. And then I do further research and I realize, just like man is a sinner, man corrupts everything, he's corrupting your food as well. So it makes perfect sense. Man, and why is he doing it? Because he's a sinner. Because, he wants to put preservatives in there that are not good for you just to make the food last a little longer. If you get a fry from McDonald's and you leave that thing under your car, car seat, and that it looks just as fresh as when you got it a year later, there is something wrong with that. I'm serious. I'm joking, but I'm serious. It's supposed to rot. It's alive. Do you understand what I mean? That's not good. It's an organic material. That's not good. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I want to eat something that is organic because I believe that the Creator is perfect when He makes everything, and He made it for me to consume. Right? God makes everything best. No one will ever invent something that quenches your thirst better than water. Because God made it. That's why. That's why I eat organic foods. I don't eat vaccines, and I don't inject vaccines. That's what I was getting ready to say. I don't take vaccinations because there are biblical principles in why. It's putting dead things into your body. It's supporting, there's aborted fetus cells. They call them fetus cells in them. There's all kinds of disgusting things in it. There are harmful substances as far as mercury, heavy metals. They put the disease inside of it when the Bible tells you to stay away from diseases. If there's a disease or a sickness somewhere, you don't go there. These are all biblical principles. But then there are also a lot of bad things along with this movement, this organic, Whole Foods type movement. I know when we used to go to Whole Foods in Cincinnati before we moved, man. We'd walk in there, and it's filled with a bunch of weirdos. There's no way around it. It is filled with a bunch of weirdos. That movement is pushed primarily by God haters, by people that do not believe the Bible, by people that worship Mother Nature, that worship the creature more than the Creator. That is a fact. It is a bunch of feminists. It is people that don't believe the Bible. So yeah, you might find some good in there, but you're going to find a lot of bad. And do you know, within that group, another thing that they push a lot, they push for women's rights, don't they? They push for women's rights. And what do you think of first? Number one, abortion. Abortion. A big segment of these people are feminists. They push for women's rights and they say, a woman should be able to do with her body what she wants. And what are they saying most of the time when they say that? That means to murder a baby. Well, I'm not okay with that. I don't agree with that. And there's a lot of other stuff within that movie that I don't agree with. But you know what else is under that umbrella of women's rights? women being able to walk around and uncover their body in any way. Do you know who tries to defend the open breastfeeding the most? It's not Christians. Most, you know, the majority of Christians are not, the majority of Christians are not into the organic thing at all, period. Now, almost none of them are. Only, really, the new IFB, to be honest, almost none of them are aware of these truths, which I agree with a lot of them. Almost none of them are. It's all feminist God-haters. Almost all of them. Yes, there's truth in it. So the other point is, hey, women's rights. They would be just as mad at you, all of these feminist women, they would be just as mad at you if you said, hey, I don't think that a woman should openly uncover her breast in any way at all, period. I don't care if she's, you know, breastfeeding or not. As they would if you said, I don't think that a woman should walk around in short-cut shorts. Both of those would make them equally as mad. And that is the group that pushes for the open breastfeeding the most. And that is where this crept into this one specific movement. That's why no one else believes it. That's why no one else thinks that breasts are not nakedness. The Bible clearly defines breasts as nakedness. And at this church, we have a policy. And I wanted to put this forth because women are having their children. There is no open breastfeeding allowed, period. Ever. You have to be covered. It's not pull the shirt up and then, no. You need to be fully covered. And if you feel uncomfortable doing this around people, I can provide my office, my office for you. My wife can assist you into my office. I will be as understanding as possible. But here's the thing. Breasts are nakedness according to the Bible. And if you didn't know that before, because I realize Ezekiel, these verses in Ezekiel, I don't think have ever been preached or shown to people. If you didn't know that before, you know it now. And that's why I believe what I believe, and that's why I have this policy. It will not be allowed, period, at all. And I realize that there are supposedly laws in states that say you have to allow them to do this and that. I don't give a rip what those laws are. It's the same way if a woman comes in here uncovered repeatedly or comes in here, you know, showing off parts of her body, even one time, that needs to be corrected, to be honest. To be consistent, it needs to be corrected. And they need to be told you're not allowed here unless you're going to be. And that's it. You say, oh, you have to. Public and private organizations, I don't know if you know this, there's supposedly a law. Public and private companies, businesses, establishments, property, whatever, you have to allow open breastfeeding. You have to allow. Well, you know what I'll say? I don't want your business. I'll take that route. You're not allowed here if you're going to be open breastfeeding. It is that important, whether you knew that or not. And this is an issue that was brought up that is a very important issue. It's just like uncovering any part of your nakedness, any of it. It's defined equally as nakedness as the buttocks, as the loins, as the thighs, also are the breasts. We see that clearly. I'm sure that a woman here would not like a man looking at another woman. I'm sure that the men in here, if they were to be honest in their hearts, they know that there is something, if you will, seductive about a woman's breast. You can say, oh, well, that goes with the word of the breast. That's foolishness. It's nonsense. It's just a stupid argument to even say. It's dumb to even bring up. That part of the body is a sensual part of the body. And it's even if you say, oh, that just neutralizes it. It still wouldn't matter. It's nakedness. Amen. It still needs to be covered up. It still would not matter, period. And some people have tried to, I've heard another argument. Well, you know, the Bible calls it the teat, right? We use the N word. It's never in the Bible, so I don't want to use that word. But the Bible calls it the teat, right? I've heard people say, well, only the teat is nakedness. Show me that in the Bible. We are using the Bible to define things, and breasts are nakedness. Not just the teat, that's a part of the breast, all of it. The breast is what's defined as nakedness, according to the Bible. So, women also, just as, you know, it's not only just the breastfeeding. Women need to wear shirts that are not low cut. They need to wear shirts that cover their nakedness. You know where your breasts begin. You're well aware of that. Do not come here showing off your breasts. That is not all right. It's nakedness. Do not wear low-cut shirts. And you know what? Just as advice, this is what I do for my daughter. You know, my wife knows well enough, I don't have to say anything to her. But my daughter, just like I have a rule for her, what is nakedness below the body? Loins to the thighs. I don't only say, hey, your dresses need to cover the loins of the thigh. I say I want them going below the knee. All her dresses are supposed to go below the knee. And when a dress gets to that point, and I notice it, I say, I don't want any of them. You know, and here's the thing. It's not that the knee has to be covered or she's showing her nakedness. And this includes when you're sitting down. You understand what I'm saying? Even when you sit down, it still should be covering all of that. So I want her, when she sits down, for her dresses also to be covering all the way to her knee. You know why? I want to buffer there. I want to make sure my daughter's not going around showing off her nakedness. This should be important to us. You know why? Because it's shameful. It's a shame. Let's not be like the world. Let's not be like the world. Let's draw a line where the Bible draws the line. And you know what? Like I said, there's a lot of good things that come out of, or a lot of good things from, that we learned, I guess, from that liberal movement. There are some good things. Not a lot. That's a bad, way to put it. There are some good things. Organic foods, that along that line. But there's a lot of bad things. That movement is not a godly movement. That movement is not of God. It is based upon evolution. That's why they believe what they believe. All of these weirdo liberal hippies, these people, they worship the earth. They want to go back to being an animal. That's why they want to go back to walking around naked. There are tons of like these weird liberal groups where they just walk around naked. I'm sure you're aware of that. There are tons of these just weird little commie places where these just hippie liberals are just walking around. A 6 foot, 130-pound vegan man walking around butt naked. Goodness sakes. He's got perfect teeth because he only eats natural sugars or something like that. It's so weird and bizarre. We're not going to be, we're not trying to be like these liberal hippies. That's not what we're going to be, and that's what that's coming from, and that's what that's like. That's just a fact. Whether you do that or not, look it up. Look up the movement. Look when this stuff started. That's where it comes from. Now, I'm not saying there might have been pockets where it wasn't, but there are a lot of laws in the past in America where you were not allowed to do that. That's why there are new laws saying that you can open breastfeed, because it used to not be allowed. You know why? Because this was a Christian nation and people understood thighs are nakedness. Women wore dresses. They were long dresses and you weren't allowed to just uncover yourself everywhere. Even if our nation did uncover the breast, guess what? They were wrong. Because the Bible says, they're not my authority. Man. Ezekiel 16 tells me it's nakedness. Period. The breasts are what's shown, they're grown, and God says, we need to cover you up. And I'm going to cover up your nakedness. Then the Babylonian, the Chaldeans come, and what do? It says they uncover her nakedness, and what does it say they uncover? What are they doing? Bruising her breast, the breast of her virginity. Now, there's more than this. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 3. There are more passages in this you can look up there in between, because it mentions repeatedly nakedness all throughout Ezekiel 16 to Ezekiel 23. So you can look this up for yourself. But I want to go on forever and ever. I want to look at this last passage, and there's a point that I want to derive from this. And it's what I was hitting on just a moment ago, that we need to draw the line where the Bible draws the line on all matters, on nakedness, on anything. And when you live in the world, you can be confused about what is nakedness. They're confused about what is nakedness. And you have to renew your mind of what is nakedness. You have to renew your mind with what is, the parts of your body that brings shame. I want you to look here in Genesis 3, and it is... We'll look at verse 6 first. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now this... According to dispensationalists, it's really the only thing at all that they even remotely get right. They refer to this as the age of innocence. And there is, of course, before this, prior to this, there's, of course, a bit of truth in that. They were innocent prior to this, right? But I want you to notice immediately that they knew that they were naked. They knew what their nakedness is. And I believe that inherently... You know what nakedness is, just as Adam and Eve knew what nakedness is. I believe that every man and woman in here knows that the breasts of a woman are nakedness, even more so than men. Outside of seeing Ezekiel chapter 16, outside of seeing that it's sensual, outside of seeing that they're only for your husband, I believe that you know that. And you know what you need sometimes? You can be confused about that. The world's confused about it. A lot of Christians are confused, and they really, you know, can become confused about their thought. I believe when you explain it to them, they know it immediately. Once you explain this, you see it, you know it in your heart. Right? Just like Adam and Eve knew it. But you need sometimes the washing of the water by the Word to show you what is this, what is that, what is this, what is that. Defining things for us. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 37 says this, "I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them." And then it says, "that they may see all thy nakedness." All thy nakedness. So what did they see, according to the Bible? They saw the loins to the thighs, obviously. That's what the Bible says is nakedness. They saw the buttocks, didn't they? That's what the Bible teaches is nakedness. And do you know what else the Bible teaches is nakedness? Breasts, according to the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches is nakedness, according to the Bible's definition. The same way the Bible defines thighs, it defines breasts. If you didn't know that before today, well, you know now, according to the Bible. And I want everybody, because the women are having children now, I want everybody to be aware of the church's policy. Now, of course, I don't rule over your life. You do what you want at home, but you have to understand, these are the rules at the church. And there are some things that I may not care about a ton. This is something that matters drastically. And I hope that it matters to everyone in here now. It matters very much so. I would not, going back, understanding what I knew, when I went to Tempe, Arizona originally, the women were covered. And over time, they started uncovering in front of everyone. Going back, I would not go to a church where women are just uncovered everywhere. And I've heard a lot of people since then, not from that church in particular, but other churches. You know why? Because that woman's breasts are for her husband alone. And no other man should be looking at them. She should not be showing them to anyone else. And here is the truth, according to the Bible. It is shameful for a woman to uncover that part of her body. And I believe that everyone here understands that. And now we see the clear teaching from the Bible. So let's, going forward, let's make sure before we believe something, let's make sure that before, we have any strong beliefs on a subject, study it out. Don't just believe what someone teaches you. Don't go along with a movement, whether it's, you read it on Are They All Yours blog or from the Kombucha Queen. No, I'm just kidding. I like kombucha, actually. So, let's make sure that we get it from the Bible. She's probably analyzing this sermon live right now. It's just live. No, I'm just kidding. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you for the definitions of things, so we don't have to be confused, dear God. We thank you, dear Lord, that you don't want us to be ashamed. And we thank you for our church here, dear Lord, and people that love the Lord and want to know the Bible. We ask you that you be with us and help us to keep a humble heart, and that you would be with the the situation of many of these Baptist churches, dear God, and that your will would be done, whatever it may be. We love you, and just keep us safe tonight as we drive home. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.